You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, we say hello to you here on a Friday. And man, oh man, basketball, and more basketball. It doesn't get much better than this. Jimmy B and TC until 6 o'clock tonight. Coming up today, Chris Dobertin. We'll do bracketology with Chris. Bobby Legeste on the Hawkeyes from Land of Penn. Kevin Lehman will join us at 5 o'clock on college basketball. And Derek Peck, the Hawk Heaven, will also be our guest coming up at roughly about 5:25, 5:30. Partner, I'm telling you right now, this is good. It's good to be us because this is what we do for a living. We watch games and observe. This is fabulous.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I've been a little too busy to be sitting around watching basketball all day, Jimmy B. You have it made. I, on the other hand, am just trying to keep my head above water. It's a little bit different. Though I did have Alabama and Auburn here on the screen earlier today. How about that comeback from Colin Sexton in Alabama? Maybe punching their ticket to the tournament, even with the loss now in the semifinals of the SEC. They'll be sitting at 19-15, but not all records are created equal. I think Alabama's in good shape.
I think they stated their case. I really believe that as well. And Kentucky and Georgia right now, and Kentucky is taking care of business against the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm real curious, and I'm really looking forward to tonight, Trent. This is a fabulous night of college basketball because in the Big 12, you've got that Texas Tech matchup. I'm sorry, you have Kansas State, I meant to say, and that matchup tonight. And then later on, you've got West Virginia playing as well against Texas Tech. That's the later game. Also tonight, you've got North Carolina and Duke playing. Mm-hmm. You have UCLA, Arizona in the Pac-12. And then the late game is Oregon and USC. This is great stuff.
Yeah, a great evening of basketball, no doubt. I'm looking forward to it, Jimmy B. And you can assume I will have a monitor up as I'm down at Wells Fargo Arena with the games also next to me. And I'll keep everybody up to date on that with, along with the high school basketball tonight. But you're right. We get Carolina Duke. And, you know, it's funny. I heard, and I can't remember exactly what the number. Of course, they played a year ago in the ACC tournament. But something like only three times in the last 20 years they played in the ACC tournament. Kind of crazy to think.
That is. I mean, they're generally always on opposite sides of the bracket, so I guess I could see that happening. But you just would have thought that they would have met more times than that just because of how good they have been historically in college basketball. But, hey, you know, I'm not concerned about that. I'm looking forward to watching that game tonight. It's going to be great.
So speaking of that game, there's conversation, you know, who's going to be the number one seeds. That's going to be something that'll be talked about a lot. And there's people still saying that Carolina can get to be a number one seed, beat Duke here, win the ACC championship, maybe win against Virginia in the title game would be the key to that. They would be, though, at that point, 26-9. Jim, I can't remember a team ever with nine losses even being in a realistic conversation for a number one seed there. Does that just say the state of college basketball this year and how wide open it is that a team with nine losses could be a number one seed?
Well, I'm with you. I think it is a coin flip to see who wins this year. There is no clear-cut favorite. There are about 10, maybe 12 teams that are on one level, and then the next level is just a little bit of a drop-off behind them with another 10. So that's how good I think the tournament is going to be this year. I think there's going to be upsets throughout the tournament, and I think we're going to see terrific college basketball in the NCAA dance this coming next week. But I was trying to think if I could remember a number one seed having that many losses, and Trent, I don't. I don't remember that at all, and that's a lot of losses to be a number one seed. It really is.
So I put the Google machine to the test and
okay.
see, And everything that came up was basically the lowest seed ever to win a game, lowest seed to make a Final Four, things like that. I'm not fighting the worst. Here's one. All right. It's from 2015. The worst number one seeds of all time. Maybe this will bring us something.
Okay.
All right. So let's scroll through here. The 91-92 Kansas Jayhawks. Does it say anything about these teams? Yeah, here we go. All right. They went 27-5, lost in the round of 32 mm-hmm. to UTEP. All right. 93-94.
Yeah.
All right, here's a team that had seven losses.
Okay, who was that?
93-94 North Carolina.
Okay, had seven, okay.
Had seven losses. That was the team that lost to a Boston College. Wasn't that Bill Curley? Was the big
That
guy
was Bill Curley. Yes. Yes. Billy Curley. That dude could play.
And this article is stupid. So the third team that I click on is the 2009-2010 Kansas Jayhawks, the team that you and I beat in the round of 32. Just because they got beat in the round of 32, this was the overall number one seed. That doesn't make them one of the worst number one seeds of all time because they got upset. This article's dumb. Who wrote this thing? Brian Kalchick. You're a moron, Brian.
Who?
Brian Kalchick. Go back to Fan Sports, whatever that stupid site was.
Never heard of him.
That's what I get for Googling during the middle of a show.
Yes, it is. Yeah, really. Yeah. See, you got all upset.
Jeez.
I just can't remember a number one
that has nine
losses. Yeah.
So Big 12 going on. Looking forward to that. We mentioned the ACC. And, Jim, I got to tell you. So last night called high school basketball, obviously, here with the two locals involved, West Des Moines Valley.
Right.
They lose to Cedar Falls. Tight game came down to the wire. And then Waukee getting knocked off by Iowa City West. So the MVC for this year dominates over the CIML. And my buddies in Eastern Iowa, they've been chirping about that all day. I've heard enough of those morons. I'm getting all fired up here today. But
You are.
So tonight, though, Jim, and I just want to give some thoughts on the D1 kids that we've seen on the floor and a lot of the players that have been out there, because I don't get a chance to see A.J. Green, at Cedar Falls, obviously, during the season.
Right.
I don't get an opportunity to watch Patrick McCaffrey and Iowa City West throughout the year and getting to see those guys. I know the local guys, and I can certainly tell you a lot about them. But for Patrick McCaffrey, he's very, a very interesting player to watch. Going back to their opening round win against Muscatine, he had a dunk in the open floor, and he was out ahead, and he flushed it. It was a two-handed slam. He's 6'8", so obviously he can dunk easily with even a little bit of athleticism. But I mean,
sure.
he got up. He's got big-time hops. This is a guy that's just not tall and can finish there when he's in the open floor. But he is so real thin, Jimmy B. I mean, he is. And you wonder, will he ever be able to add weight because of, obviously, what he went through with the cancer and being part of the thyroid? You just don't know. I mean, there are certain guys that never are able to gain weight. They just can't. And I'm jealous of those guys, and you're kind of one of those guys, though you work hard at it, Jimmy B. But there are just there are certain body types that they just don't add weight. They're thin.
Yeah.
Jared Utoff is an example of that. He's a thin guy, and he got bigger, but is never going to be thick. And I think that's going to be the same thing for Patrick McCaffrey. But he has to get smarter because basketball IQ, he's very smart. You look at him defensively with those long arms, gets his hands in passing lanes. He's smart. He can block shots because of the athleticism and the length, but there are times when he gets lost on the offensive end. Guys that'll play physical with him that can bump him off his spot a little bit, even when he's going to the rim with the basketball, he is so thin that he gets bumped away, and it leads to him disappearing. Can he still be that real thin guy in today's basketball and still be able to get away with it, Jim? Steph Curry, came in really thin. But you look at him now, that's a well-built guy. To be what he's considered right now, a top 40 player nationally, and for that to translate to the college level,
sure,
he's got to get stronger. It might not look like it in terms of his build, but he has to become stronger with the basketball. And I think that's something that you can build upon. I worry about his frame.
I'll give you a couple of guys. One is playing right now with the Warriors. You referenced Curry. I'll go to Kevin Durant. Remember when he came out of Texas at 6'10", and he was like pencil thin. He still hasn't. I mean, he has more weight on him now, but he's much stronger because he's been in the weight room. But it's not like he's a real thick guy out there, and he doesn't seem to have any difficulties. The guy that I'll take you back in history, and you'll know the name, George the Iceman Gervin, was rail thin, but the guy was a leading scorer in the league back then. So, I mean,
that's different, though, Jim. There were a lot of different.
There were big guys, and it was a rougher game back then, too. But my point is that there are guys that you can point to and say, all right, he only weighs 200 pounds and he's 6'9", but if he gets to 220, I think you take that if that's the case. Durant is 6'11".
Right.
6'10", 6'11". I bet he weighs 225, 230, if that. And he carves his way through the bigger guys without much of a problem. Now, length and athleticism can help you with that, of course, and he definitely has it, but when you say guys are going to get in and get banged around, well, look, the big guys down low on the block, they're going to bang who's ever there, and it doesn't matter if you're a stocky 6'2 guy or a thin 6'10 guy. You're going to get knocked around right. with some of those big guys down there. It's going to happen.
Yep.
So I just think that, you know, just because he's and I know what he has gone through, but I think if he gets on a heavy diet, on packing weight on, and he's in the weight room throughout the summer, I bet he'll come back 10, maybe 12 pounds heavier than what you see him right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and yeah, that makes, I think, a lot more sense kind of looking at it that way, and we'll see on that. The other side of tonight, A.J. Green. A.J. Green.
Yes.
Committed and signed to play his father, lead assistant at the University of Northern Iowa with Ben Jacobson. I saw Coach Jake, in fact, last night after the game, talking with AJ down in the tunnel, and said a quick hello to him and thanked him for coming on during the season with us here on Mondays. But he was shooting ridiculously well early on, step back threes. The thing that jumped off the page with me, though, I saw him 2 years ago when he was a sophomore, and he was thin. He was like a lot of these guys we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And, of course,
yeah.
They're high school guys for the most part. Not the most well-built, but he was really thin at that time. He's added a lot of weight. And the other part is he's a legit 6'3". You know, this isn't one of those guys that's 5'11", 6', and then trying to translate up to the D1 level, and it can be difficult. He's 6'3". And as a point guard and a scoring guard like he is, I think that's going to go a long ways. I believe he's going to be an instant star in the NBC. I mean, it's not very often outside of Wichita or Creighton right. that you'd ever see top 100 guys that would be going into the Missouri Valley Conference. They have that, and I can see why he is ranked, top 70, 75 in the country
right.
for this senior class. He had a lot of opportunities, a lot of big programs that were after him. He's going to be really good, and I think he's going to answer the call next season and probably be a big help for that UNI team. They need scoring. We know that. He can score
they
the
do.
Basketball. Valley did
how
a better job. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how did he translate defensively as well?
He's good, and he's well-schooled in that. Yeah, he D'd up. Trayvon Williams is the point guard for West Des Moines Valley. He's a junior that already has an offer from South Dakota State and T.J. Otzelberger out there. And he's a D1 kid himself. He really frustrated Williams, A.J. Green did with his defense. He'll be able to play on that end. And, you know, to play for Ben Jacobson, you got to play on that end of the floor.
Yep.
He's going to be able to do that. That'll be a help. And, we'll start to take a peek forward more and more at the other programs. But there's still so much to still be determined, too, Jimmy B. You know, open scholarships at some places, transfers that are going to happen. And we go to the news of the day, Tyler Cook announcing that he is going to throw his hat into the ring for the NBA.
Well, look, it's no surprise. We talked about it, and as soon as the season came to an abrupt halt, we said that this would probably be good for him. I think he'll get a pretty good read on where his game is, and I expect him to return to college. Now, the one thing that I want to caution here is that if he gets a decent grade, does he opt to go to the G League? Does he opt to go play a year in Europe where he can make money? Or does he decide to return and play another year of college? Look, when he came out and he said, well, I'm not going to transfer to Missouri, but he never said, Trent, anything about anything else. So he just killed off that rumor about he was going to go play at Missouri. So I think that's still kind of the toss-up question. And I think that that question will not be answered until after he goes through the NBA process and they kind of grade him out and tell him where he is.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And what you're going to see certainly with that is depends on how he is. Right now, you look at top 100, you know, NBA Draft Net, one of the top sites out there for that. He's not in their top 100. But
right.
How many people were watching a terrible Iowa team playing on BTN this year? I'm going to guess that not a whole lot of scouts were breaking down those games with Iowa and Illinois playing in the Big Ten tournament. That's not something at the top of their to-do list. That's going to change. He's going to have an ability. And he's playing for a check. He's playing for an opportunity to earn a living. Maybe that'll wake him up on the defensive end because he has the requisite quickness. We know that. He's strong enough. Is it he didn't buy in on the defensive end? He didn't understand what they were trying to do, or maybe he just didn't care on that end of the floor. That'll be different when he's in those kind of environments, still to be seen. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. We got Bobby Legette stopping by at about 4:40. We'll get deeper into that. But next, a little bracket racket. Chris Dobertin from bloggingthebracket.net. He'll be joining us on the other side as we take a deep dive inside the bracket. Selection Sunday coming on Sunday. Looking forward to that here. It's Jimmy B and TC.
Now, listen to 1700 KBGG on Alexa. Say, Alexa, enable the 1700 KBGG skill. Then to play us, say, Alexa, play 1700 KBGG. Simple enough.
Well, it's that time of year again, tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
Sponsored by Cece's. Now at Cece's, New York style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies on the buffet for just $5 and change for a limited time. Only at Cece's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
Showplace Kitchens is changing our name to Showplace Cabinetry Design Center. What hasn't changed is the commitment of our professional design staff to help you create a showplace of your very own. Come see us at 3200 100th Street, Urbandale.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right, they will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
How much will you save at the JCPenney Mystery Sale? An extra 50, 40, or 30% off. Friday through Sunday, visit in-store to receive your mystery coupon. Then peel to reveal and save instantly on regular, sale, or clearance prices. Wow! So what are you waiting for? Hurry! In-store only this weekend at JCPenney.
Coupon valid 3/93/11. Excludes final take offers. Clearance selection vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Some exclusions apply. Coupon giveaway available while supplies last. Must be 18 or older. See store or jcp.com for details.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Carrie Ann's Food Pantry serves the residents of Southeast Polk School District as well as all of Bondurant and Pleasant Hill. If you live in this area or use the school system and find yourself in need of additional food at this time, come in Mondays or Wednesdays between 3 and 6 or on Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday between 11 and 1. You will need to bring in an ID for each member of your family and a piece of mail postmarked and delivered to you for each adult over 18 in order to register. There are no income requirements, no checking of employment, nor need to be signed up for any government or church charity program. We are here to help. If you need food, we have it for you. Caring Hands has been serving the Southeast Polk area for more than 20 years and is funded by charitable contributions from those of us in the community. Check out their website at caringhandsiowa.org.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
The day for everyone to be Irish. St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday this year. Party right with Bennigan's and the St. Patrick's Day Party on Saturday, March 17th, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Live music starts at 7 with Moe's Garage, followed by Burning Sensation until 1 a.m. And room packages are available to stay the night at the Holiday Inn if you have a little too much Irish spirit. Your St. Patrick's Day Party headquarters, Bennigan's on Merlehay Road.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing it a man. Slam dunk.
Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah. The word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in. We take you all the way to 6 o'clock tonight right here on the Big Talker 1700, Jim and Trent. Look, with upsets that have taken place in the conference tournaments, and we still have Saturday and Sunday to play, who knows what's going to happen? Well, we had to go to a guy who is an absolute wizard at all of this. Chris Dobertine, bloggingthebracket.net. He's here to help us out with our bracketology. Hi, Chris, and is your head on a swivel right now watching all of these games?
The nice thing about the Friday afternoon is things have quieted down a little bit from the Thursday, so it's not as bad as it was yesterday. But tonight's going to get crazy again.
It will. There's no question. Yeah, it'll be nuts with the great games. Trent and I had we really like what we have on tap tonight. I mean, you've got Duke, North Carolina. You got Arizona, mm-hmm. UCLA. You have Kansas State, Kansas. You have West Virginia, Texas. I mean, where do you go on this? Do you have like 10 TVs? Is that what you do?
I used to do that. I used to have multiple TVs around. What I'll probably do is I'll have one game on the laptop, and I've got four TiVo tuners, and I'll flip around. Because I'm getting to the age now where it's really hard to try to focus on more than one thing at once. So I'll probably, and the thing for me is Florida's playing in that late window, so I'm going to be paying more attention to that game than to Duke, North Carolina.
The old alma mater gets you once again with yes. the Gators down yep. there in the SEC tournament. Hey, speaking of the SEC tournament, it's just down the road from us a few hours, well, more than a few, but down in St. Louis, we're seeing Kentucky go on this afternoon. They're obviously a different level the way that they travel. I know throwing a bone to Missouri as they get knocked off yesterday. Is this something that's going to happen every 5 years, 8 years? Is it going to be part of the rotation? Or is this a one and done for the SEC?
It looks like they're kind of trying to get to different sites every 4 or 5 years or so. We're going to go back to Nashville for, I think, another 4 years, and then it goes to Tampa next, which Tampa does not have a great track record in hosting conference tournaments, believe me, having lived down there and lived through them. So, Nashville's kind of the site. They're going to try to get to other places as needed, and this was just kind of a one-shot deal. Unless the thing that people forget is that Kentucky isn't really all that far from Missouri.
Right.
That's not really a bad spot for them, really. So if Kentucky brings a lot of fans, which they do pretty much everywhere, you know, you could see St. Louis get in there a little more frequently, or in that every 4 or 5 year range.
Mm-hmm. We're having a conversation right now, Chris Dobertine, blogging thebracket.net, as we do bracketology all the time with Chris. Okay, so now you're starting to hear teams that got knocked out early, like Middle Tennessee State, like Notre Dame, Nebraska, Penn State, teams like that having their coach standing up in front of the media trying to state a case. Does it make any difference, or does it?
I don't think it does. I mean, you know, that was one thing I was really working on today, was kind of laying out the case, especially for teams like Oklahoma, Middle Tennessee, Notre Dame, kind of, you know, breaking down kind of their pluses and their minuses in really granular detail. And honestly, I don't think that, you know, coaches really have all that much sway, because, you know, they had their chance to really do things kind of in November and December to get their teams prepared for conference play by setting up a decent non-conference schedule. Some teams did that better than others. And then, of course, you know, getting through, you know, the regular season. And the argument is, of course, you know, oh, our conference is so good. Avery Johnson has really been somebody who's, you know, I've kind of been hearing a lot kind of talking all this. Yeah, well, you're playing really good teams, so naturally you're going to, every once in a while, you're going to lose 5 games in a row. What? No, that's not how it works. So that to me just kind of rings a little bit hollow. It's, you know, I know they got to do it. They've got to go out and, you know, sell their programs, but the committee, they aren't paying any attention to it.
I love that. Now, Chris, can you also relay that story using your best Avery Johnson voice?
I will pass on that. Thank you very much, Trent.
Love it. Well, speaking of Alabama, they get a big win today. Colin Sexton goes off for 31. A day after, he goes coast-to-coast for the victory for the Crimson Tide. Still, what, 14 losses? It'll be 15 unless they win the SEC title.
Yeah.
Are they in good shape, though? You look overall at that resume, it looks pretty solid to me. Your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a very similar case to what happened with Vanderbilt last year. Vanderbilt got him with 15, which was the most ever for an at-large team. And, you know, they both, you know, both Alabama and Vanderbilt played a good non-conference schedule. Alabama's strength of schedule right now overall is up to 2, second in the country, in their non-conference strength of schedule. I think Vanderbilt's is in the top 10. Alabama is 25th right now. So they did, you know, what they wanted to do in November and December. The committee liked that. And, yeah, they had that late swoon, but they have really responded to that with a vengeance in beating both A&M and Auburn. And really, the way they took about Auburn today, and that's a team that I think is going to probably slip from a 3 to a 4 because of the way they finished. It just speaks volumes when other teams haven't been able to do that when they're in a similar position. Arizona State and Oklahoma, you know, being the two most prominent.
I've got a question for you about the Big Ten. We know which teams are in with Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue. But everything I've seen so far has Purdue as like a number 2 seed instead of Michigan, who won the conference tournament. Is that correct in your mind? And if it is, how do you explain that?
The big thing I think really separating Purdue and Michigan is Purdue's non-conference schedule is a little bit better than what Michigan had to offer. Michigan was down 254 non-conference schedule for Michigan. So that's not helpful. Purdue's the 73rd. 73rd's not great, but it's still, you know, they got in that Battle of Atlantis. They played, you know, some good opponents down there, even though they, you know, didn't win as many games as they hoped. They beat Arizona. You know, they beat Butler on a neutral floor. They beat Marquette. They beat Louisville. You know, so they have some nice non-conference wins when, you know, on Michigan's side of the ledger, their best non-conference wins came against UCLA, who's not assuredly in the field yet. you know, that's probably their best one. So, yeah, that's pretty much why Purdue was getting that little bit of an edge than over Michigan, despite that conference tournament win.
As we await the bracket coming out on Sunday early evening, what's the team that you're most concerned about? The one that you're going back and forth trying to predict if they're going to be in? Is there one team that you are struggling right now, what to put in, what to keep out?
There are so many. I wrote this morning that, you know, usually I'm pretty confident except for one or two teams. This year it's more like five or six because, really, you know, the last eight teams in the bracket, even going up a little bit further, like I have UCLA as a 9 seed, which is higher than most people have them. You know, going from that spot all the way down to the cut line and then adding, you know, six or seven teams on the other side, you can make a really good case for or against any of them at this point. And their resumes are just all so uniquely flawed. It's really hard to figure out, you know, what the committee, especially since they're adding a new metric and the new quadrant system for the wins, you know, what they're going to value this year. This is kind of uncharted territory for us. So I am not confident at all. You know, we could potentially have a year where we all get, you know, four teams wrong because if the committee values certain things differently than we are or what they have done in the past, we're going to be wrong in a lot of stuff.
So, like in football, when the committee says, well, winning your conference championship game is everything, and then a team gets in that didn't win the conference championship game or didn't even play in it, what the hell does that say then? It's like you can't figure it out what they're really thinking.
Yeah, and that, you know, kind of bring up a good point. That gets us to a couple teams I'm concerned about. You know, Baylor, Louisville, St. Mary's, and Middle Tennessee. To me, those four teams are a very interesting mix of questions because, you know, Baylor and Louisville have a very similar record against Group 1, against the top-tier teams or top-tier games. But Baylor has a couple wins against top 20 teams that Louisville doesn't have. Louisville's wins are kind of down in the 45, 50, 60 range. But when you compare that to Middle Tennessee, who's 3-3 against Group 1, and their wins compare favorably to Louisville, even though none of them are, you know, the ACC name brand variety. And then you have St. Mary's, you know, a team that, you know, has come in, you know, lost in the semifinals of the WCC. They're 28-5. You think, oh, they're in great position there, but you compare their resume to Middle Tennessee's, and Middle Tennessee actually do a little bit better in terms of their schedule than what St. Mary's did. And St. Mary's picked up four extra wins basically by playing, you know, 200, 300-type teams that Middle Tennessee was able to avoid. So there's a whole lot of mess there that I'm not really sure we're going to get a full answer on until we actually hear the actual bracket, or at least the names announced on Sunday night.
Talking right now with our man Chris Dobertine, blogging the bracket. It's part of SB Nation. Chris, year after year, one of the top bracketologists out there. Bracket matrix over the last 5 years, over 100 different bracketeers, and you're ranked in the top, what are you, what, number 12, I believe it is, something like that, Chris. Is that a badge of honor, beating up on all those other people out there?
It usually is. It would be nice if I had a few more Twitter followers and a little more readership, but, you know, it's a good start.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your time so much. We'll see if maybe you have a little time to on Monday. We'll try to track you down and talk about what went wrong, what went right, and how the NCAA screwed this up, because it seems like that happens every year.
That would be great, guys.
That's Chris Dobertine joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Chris Dobertine. Bump up that Twitter followership, and he does such great work, Jimmy B. I tell you, conference tournament time, it is a must. He has everything listed every morning, updated, every game, where you can watch it, what channel it'll be on, if it's streaming, how you can catch it there. Updated brackets every day. He does that. Put so much work into it. Bloggingthebracket.com, part of SB Nation and Chris Dobertine. We're getting close, Jim. We're what?
I know. Yeah.
Where are we at? A little more than 48 hours away, and we'll be seeing the revealing first of the 68 teams.
I that just makes me sick. They're just going to what? Put it on a scroll and just have it go across. Okay, here are the teams, and then take their time doing the brackets? I don't like this at all. Look, I hope that they have a plan. You got me upset about it yesterday, and I went off on a tangent. I won't do that today. But I hope there's some sort of plan to at least try to make it interesting. I don't understand, Trent, why you cannot open the show Talk about how great the conference tournaments have been. Talk about the top teams. Take your commercial break with the tees. When we come back, we're going to show you our first bracket from the East region. Then everybody knows. Everybody knows the East region is coming up. No, no, no. We're going to show you teams and not tell you where any of them are. And then you got to wait 2 hours to find out. This just blows.
That's not what they're doing. They said you will
it
have.
It is.
No, it's not. they are going to announce the 68 teams that made the field. Your full brackets will be released within the first 45 minutes, just like it's always been, Jimmy B. Outside of the year where they stretch it out over 2 hours a couple years back, it is going to be out within the first 45 minutes like it always has. I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm going to see how this plays out because I've had egg on my face too many times. The Madison Square Garden, and what a dumb idea for the Big Ten tournament. Turned out to be pretty good. First sellout since 2014 for a Big Ten tournament session. They sold out the semifinals and the championship. So I'm going to reserve judgment here. I'm going to see how it plays out. If it sucks, I'll say as much Monday. But you're going to get what you normally get. You're just waiting for those final couple of spots. I don't know if it'll be that big of a deal. We'll see. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Hey, I know we got to get to a break because we got Bobby Legesse coming up, but help me out with this. Have you seen the kid from Grandview Christian play because they won today the 1A championship? Is it Asesa Samaki? Did I say that right or not?
Yeah, very very athletic player, pretty raw, but I saw him a little bit, just some clips. He can fly up and dunk, no doubt, but no, haven't seen a ton of him on the floor.
Okay. I was just curious because he had 18 points today, and what did he have? 4 blocks, 18 rebounds, and 12 points. So he pretty much dominated. They had another player that scored 21 to lead in scoring, but once again, he was a dominant player for Grandview Christian.
Grandview Christian, the title winners in an afternoon championship game. That one, I think they need to work on that. I understand condensing the tournament here and everything will be played with the championships. I personally think maybe they should move those championship games for Class 1A and 2A maybe to Thursday night, do something like that. Still some juggling that needs to be done. A 2 o'clock championship game, just it feels a little bit off to me, Jimmy B. I like to see those kids be under the bright lights and in the evening session. We will see about that. We come back on the other side, as mentioned, Bobby Legesse from the Land of 10. We're talking Iowa Hawkeyes with him. Also a look at Tyler Cook. His decision, he puts his name into the NBA ring. We'll talk about that with Bobby next on Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, going to the chicken coop to watch the tournament.
Whoa, wait a minute. Our team didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, my second favorite team did.
Oh, really? And who's that? Let me guess. You're in a pool again, aren't you?
A couple of them. Yeah, gotta go. Bye.
It's tournament time, baby. No need to flip channels to watch the game. The Chicken Coop has all the games from every network on every TV. The Chicken Coop. Serious about food. Serious about the tournament.
Washer Systems of Iowa. Blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Sponsored by Walgreens. Switch your Medicare Part D prescriptions to Walgreens and start saving today with copays as low as $0 on select plans with Tier 1 generics. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Overnight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low temperature near 26, and on Saturday, clouds roll back in. Some scattered rain showers in the afternoon and evening, changing to snow showers into Sunday morning. We'll have a high of 46 on Saturday. I'm Local 5 meteorologist Brandon Lawrence.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerleman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
You can help plant the seeds of hope in the Heartland. Imagine how an at-risk child's life can change when one small act of kindness leads to an entirely different path. Wildwood Hills Ranch is transforming the lives of at-risk children, one heart and one child at a time, through year-round character, leadership, and teamwork training. Frederick Douglass was right. It is better to build strong children than repair broken men. Help forge a path by sponsoring an at-risk child today. Learn more by visiting wildwoodhillsranch.org.
Your home for high school sports is 1700 KBGG, and 1700 will bring you the 2018 Boys State Basketball Tournament. Join me, Trent Condon, as I bring you play-by-play action of the best teams in Central Iowa through the championships on Friday. If you're shut out watching on TV, listen in on 1700 AM and streaming live on 1700KBGG.com. The Boys State Basketball Tournament is presented in part by Jethro's. Try the world-famous Emenecker Challenge at any of the seven Metro Jethro's barbecue locations.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus. And online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
It's time for your daily dose of Hawkeye coverage on 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody. Jim and Trent, we continue on here until 6 o'clock tonight. Still to come on the program, Derek Peck will join us, and Kevin Lehman also coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, let's say hello to Bobby Legesse, Land of 10, as he comes to us right here on the Big Talker 1700. Bobby, good afternoon to you. And I think that the lead story here, obviously, is the Tyler Cook news. And I don't think it really caught anybody by surprise. I think most people believed that he was indeed going to check out the NBA and go through that process.
You had to believe this was coming. I mean, I wrote a column on this that ran Monday or Tuesday, some point earlier in the week, that basically said Missouri wasn't the end of the, you know, speculation if he returns or not, because he can declare for the NBA draft and has until like June 11th to pull out, or anyone does. So if you have that option to do that, as long as you don't sign an agent, why wouldn't you do that if you're somebody with NBA aspirations and also somebody who's probably going to be playing pro basketball at some point? I mean, the kid was a former four-star, I believe, top 50 recruit. I mean, that's been his end game since before he even signed with Iowa.
You know, it's so funny looking at this from afar. And Iowa went through this just 2 years ago with Peter Jok, and he came back for last season and went through his senior year and, you know, got kind of an evaluation, but he went through, got hurt during a workout, I think, with New Orleans with the Pelicans, and then decided at that point he was going to come back. I don't think this should come as a surprise for anybody, and I've heard some people out there say that really every collegiate player should do this. If you have realistic aspirations to play at that level, and I believe Tyler Cook does, that you should do this maybe every single year, because it's not like the old days where you can only do it once, and there was a portion of time where you put your name in, you couldn't pull it back. That's not the case anymore. Tyler Cook could do this next year if he comes back to Iowa, go through evaluation process, and if he doesn't come back positive, he could do it for a second time and come back for a senior year. So why don't we see actually more of this happening? Is it because most everybody kind of knows their place already, or is there another reason, Bobby?
I think the reason is most
you have two sets of kids in college for the most part. Those that end up going one and done very quickly, and those that end up sticking around for 4 years, or they plan on sticking around for multiple years, or they all of a sudden break out and now they become an NBA first round pick, and so when they declare it, they're going to go. You don't have a lot. You don't have as many guys anymore who come in, I think, in Tyler's spot, where there's somebody who has what looks like an NBA pedigree, what looks like, if they're to declare this isn't the year they're going to get drafted, not on any mock drafts, but you think in the near future he's going to end up on one. Just with the way the structure of everything is, it just seems like everyone's one and done, or they're there forever, or when they pop up, they're gone. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is something kids should do a lot. You can get some great feedback from these teams. You have the opportunity to potentially work out with NBA teams. Maybe you get invited to the combine. And for some of these kids, maybe hearing things, like for Tyler Cook, you have to improve your defense. Hearing that from an NBA front office executive might resonate in a way it doesn't with your college coach. It looks like a win-win situation for kids across the board.
Right, yes. I was just going to follow up with you on that when you referenced that, is sometimes you hear it from the same voice over and over and over again, and all of a sudden it's like tuned out. But now if you hear it from somebody who you believe is on a higher level than you are, now all of a sudden it might make sense. And so now you really have to understand what you're going to have to work with. So if he gets, let's say, a lukewarm response, could you see him still coming back to Iowa? Or could you see him maybe going to the G League or going overseas to play for a year? Where are you on this?
I think every single one of those options is potentially still in play at this point, because he's going to do what's best for his pro future. For most kids, that always is coming back to college. But with Tyler, he might think it's the G League. He might think it's somewhere else, because he's probably not, even though the NBA has gotten smaller, he's probably not a true power forward or true center in that league. And he does a lot of stuff for Iowa this past year, being around the basket. He did a little bit more offensively playing off the ball, but in a lot of their defensive sets, he was the guy guarding the five a lot. And I think he's also going to hear from NBA people, we like the steps you made as a sophomore when it comes to your ability to play away from the basket, not in the post, put the ball on the floor, things like that. But he probably can do more, has to develop more with his shot and ball handling skills at that front in the NBA, just because the league goes so small ball so often. And you might be able to make the case that his best option to develop that might be the G League or elsewhere, not necessarily at Iowa. And that's why I say I don't know which one it's going to be, but I think it's going to be the one that he believes will lead him to have the longest pro career in the future, not just for what's best for next year for him.
Well, it's not just that is happening in terms of possible changes with that roster. A lot of rumblings, rumors. Bobby, I'm sure you've heard a whole host of them, and you as a reporter, it's a little bit different for you. I can just wildly speculate here on the radio. What do you hear, Bobby? Got any news to break for us?
Is college basketball, every team has transfers at the end of the year, and every team has a bunch of rumors around him. It's just the way the game is. I think the national average, if you compile up everybody that transfers from all the teams, it comes out to an average of two or three players per team every year. And so you can look at the roster, and on almost any team, there's half of them that you could say could go. I mean, it can be guys who are highly touted recruits who come in, like Illinois had Mark Smith just transfer, the four-star top 100 guard. It's guys on the end of the bench who don't play that everyone goes, well, that one's obvious. And when you look at this Iowa team, I mean, I could make the case for every single player probably on that roster to either transfer or not necessarily come back next year. It's just, Iowa's a little on the weird end on that, where there's not going to be a name that's probably going to surprise anybody if they end up leaving. But at the same time, it's college basketball. You know a couple of them will. So at this point, it's just kind of like you're sitting in a wait-and-see mode just to see which ones it ends up being at this point, just because that's how it is every year.
Yeah, Bobby, though, wouldn't you prefer to have it, if you're Iowa, wouldn't you prefer to have it sooner rather than later, or does it matter?
Oh, if you're the team, you want it known as soon as you can. It might not be announced yet, but if I'm the coaching staff, I want to know as soon as possible so I can start figuring out my plan A, B, C, and D for potential replacements for whoever ends up leaving.
So, Bobby, there is going to be some moving parts, it sounds like, here. If there are multitude of different open scholarships, what direction is this going to go? And it's, I understand, depending on who leaves, that's also how you're going to construct your roster. But, you know, what's on the wish list, you think, for Fran McCaffrey as it pertains JUCO, grad transfers, high school seniors that are unsigned? Where do you think the route he's going to take, and what positions will he be looking at?
Irregardless of who leaves, I think the number one thing that team needs to address is a point guard or combo guard who's athletic. So you can have that person defend the perimeter, offset a little bit what Jordan Bohannon does with his kind of weakness on that defensive end in that front, can help you there a little bit, can also help you at a minimum if they're a combo guard. You know, if a team decides they want to pressure Jordan Bohannon, you can kind of send the ball in that direction, and now teams have to do something else defensively against Iowa to try to neutralize Jordan. It also allows him to play a little bit off the ball better. You might be able to run some screens. You don't want to take Jordan completely off the ball, because I might argue the best thing he does is you give him the ball in transition, and Iowa usually gets good shots, whether it's him or somebody else. But the one guy you can bring in that can solve multiple holes on this team from what you had this past year, I think, is a combo guard who's very athletic, help you a little bit offensively, depth of point guard, help you defensively. Could be a grad transfer, could be a JUCO guy. Maybe you could find a high schooler who fills that role, but I would probably look JUCO or grad transfer for a guy like that, kind of your glue guy in the backcourt. Find a guy like that. That goes a long way to helping Iowa for next season.
Bobby, about 45 to a minute left here. Quickly, Gary Bart is on a committee where they're talking about letting people transfer without having to sit out, but he's talking about applying a grade point average, and he's looking at 3.0. Is that going to fly, or is he just like throwing stuff against the wall to see if it'll stick?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was kind of used as a trial balloon to see what the response is to something like that. A lot of fans and the players themselves believe that they should have the ability to transfer whenever, no restrictions, because coaches aren't when they leave for jobs. And so that I totally understand. If you want to put a GPA requirement on it, I totally get it. You might have people who argue 3.0 is a little high because for people to stay academically eligible, 3.0 is not it. So you might have to lower that to get to whatever the qualifying grade is for a player to stay academically eligible. But I think somewhere in the future that's going to happen, where all the restrictions placed on players and the redshirt year will probably disappear in the transfer market.
Bobby Legesse, Land of 10. He is putting out content each and every day. Him and Scott Dockerman doing a great job. Bobby, as always, good catching up with you. Thank you.
All right, enjoy talking with you guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Bobby Legesse, give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Bobby Legesse, as he joins us here. Jimmy B, we got an hour in the book, still another hour to go. Are you going to be able to hold up, old man?
Oh, man, come on. I'm drinking my Metamucil. I've had prune juice. And as soon as we get back from this break, I'll be all cleaned out and ready to go.
Sharing too much information. Well, we got a lot more college basketball talk coming up on the other side. Kevin Lehman will join us. Drake will be playing in a tournament, Jimmy B. Are you going to make your way down there on Monday at 1 o'clock to watch the Bulldogs in the CIT?
Hey, look, at least somebody's playing in postseason play. I might as well.
That's right. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. How about you and I? Are they going to take a shot at a bid if they're taking CIT, CBI? We'll talk about it. Kevin Lehman up next.
Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right than you. 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
The day for everyone to be Irish. St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday this year. Party right with Bennigan's and the St. Patrick's Day Party on Saturday, March 17th, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Live music starts at 7 with Moe's Garage, followed by Burning Sensation until 1 a.m. In the room. Room packages are available to stay the night at the Holiday Inn if you have a little too much Irish spirit. Your St. Patrick's Day Party headquarters, Bennigan's on Merle Hay Road.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to keep good records. We can help. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines. Bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax reporting, as well as income taxes. Everything you need to be successful in running your business. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. You do what you do best and let us do the rest. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. But Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast. East 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
Sponsored by Cece's. Now at Cece's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just $5 and change for a limited time. Only at Cece's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerleman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerleman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
Hi, Tom Baudet with a word for hipsters. It's getting harder to find that perfect thing nobody's ever heard of. I mean, artisanal persimmon marmalades don't grow on trees, or do they? Anyway, when you wind up so far outside the mainstream you need to rest for the night, point your vintage scooter at Motel 6, suppliers of locally sourced rooms for great low rates since way before it was cool. And if you think that sounds good, you should hear it on vinyl. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule.